Shalom, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, Ilan. How are you?
I'm fine.
Beautiful.
Parashat Bechar, right?
Yeah, Parashat Bechar is a fascinating, interesting parasha. You know, it talks about an interesting concept which some people know about and some people don't know about. Where God commanded Moses to tell the Jews, obviously, the laws of the sabbatical year. For, you know, we work 6 years in the land, and on the seventh year, we stop, we don't work in anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't cut, you can't this, you can't that. And we'll talk about, in a, through this, interview, the greatness of the sabbatical year, and also, you know, the importance of it.
So why is there a sabbatical year? Why every seventh year there is a sabbatical one?
Because God instructed, it's literally, as you'll see, as we're going to talk about it, God instructed basically faith. Because if you go and look in this week's Torah portion, the opening of this week's Torah portion, it says the six years you're going to work, and on the seventh year you will not work. And, you know, you might have people that will ask, what's going on? How am I going to feed myself the seventh year? I can't do anything. But God obviously promised that in that seventh year, if we don't do anything, we're going to, the soil is going to be so rich, it's going to be even threefold more than what we would have had anyway. So, in essence, as we'll talk about a little bit, really that trust, that partnership between us and God. Obviously, God's not telling us, don't work on the seventh year, and then you go and fend for yourself.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he's doing it. There was once a phenomenal story, which I think gives a little bit of an explanation on this. There was once an international dealer. He dealt, you know, in very high-end fabrics. And he came once to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which was the Chabad head rabbi in New York. And he came, and he was an active member of a community in England. And the businessman, obviously, was very familiar with the Rebbe, and, you know, that he had blessings and so on and so forth. But, you know, he wasn't necessarily so familiar as he thought, hey, you know, the Rebbe's a holy guy. What does he know about business and so on and so forth? And while he had his interview, he asked the Rebbe if he wouldn't mind partnering with him in a business venture. And the Rebbe turned to him and said, fair enough, I'll do it. But remember that in a partnership, no partner can make a move without the consent of the other.
Yeah.
No, we have to do it together. And we have a deal. He was obviously very skeptical, and what does this guy know about, this rabbi know about making deals and businesses and everything? He says, okay, he's a tzaddik, he's a holy man, fine, no problem. So the rabbi, before he left, advised him that he should make a large purchase of a certain material that really this guy didn't even think about. He's like, wasn't even on his radar. Okay, he went home and he placed a large order for this unusual fabric, which no one barely uses. And obviously, like his deal he made, he reported back to New York saying that, you know, he had bought this amount of the material. And the Rebbe's response to him was, like, that your buy was very, very conservative, that you should have bought a bigger quantity. And, okay, he doesn't know. He went and he bought a bigger quantity. And he invested basically his whole money that he had. And, you know, as he saw it was really going down a little bit in the value and everything, and he wanted to sell. And the Rebbe told him, don't sell. He said, okay, I'm not going to sell. He said, all right, whatever you want. And he sees that it's going down even more, so he keeps up his promise, and he contacts the Rebbe, and he says, well, I need to sell them, and this is, what, I'm going to lose my pants over here, and he says, no, don't sell, just don't worry about it. And obviously, as he was facing financial ruin right now, thinking in his head, is this all a mistake? What am I going to do? What am I going to happen? He started sort of separating himself from the community a lot. And obviously this bleeding happened for many, several months. And one day it slowly started to kick up a little bit. And so obviously he consulted back, you know, the man keeping to his word, he consulted back with the Rebbe and asked, if he should sell now, at least I can break even. And he said, no, absolutely not. And shortly thereafter, a very famous fashion designer put out a line that he needed this unusual material. So obviously this man in England had the market cornered because he had bought everything so long ago. And he then obviously said, oh my, you know, this is really going to be big. The Rebbe better say yes. And he wrote in, and the Rebbe said, yes, now is the time to sell. So obviously this man made millions in profit, and he became extremely, extremely wealthy. So he wanted to go and reciprocate to the Rebbe, you know, for the blessing and the guidance that he wanted to give him a check. And the man asked the Rebbe, you know, he said, I want to give you this check. And the Rebbe declined to take the offer. And he says, I'd rather you give that to charity instead, I don't need it. And the man then asked the Rebbe, you know, maybe, you know, you're such a genius in these things. Maybe you can help me. Maybe we can pursue another venture together. And the Rebbe smiled and he says, I'm sorry, you know. I said, what is wrong? He said, as they say in Yiddish, you're a schwacher Schutuf, a very, very weak partner. Very, very weak partner. He had his doubts. He had his, you know, he was always, he couldn't take the blessings of a tzaddik, of a holy man, and sort of, well, this is what it is, you know, obviously there's better reasons why I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And when I was reading Mitzvah's portion, that sort of reminded me, because if you go and look at Mitzvah's Torah portion, we're taught that at Mount Sinai God tells Moses to instruct the children regarding the observance of the Shemitah, the seventh year, and which entailed that when they entered the land of Israel, they were to count the years in cycles of seven. And then for 6 years they would be able to work and soil and reap its fruit, but out on the seventh, it's going to be basically it's all going to be for God. We're not going to be able to sowing, no picking, no reaping. A full year it's set aside for spiritual pursuits. And the Torah later goes on and says that if you will say, and you have a question, which is very normal, what will I eat in the seventh year? We're not allowed to do anything. God says, I will ordain my blessings for you in the sixth year. It says this in the sixth Torah portion, that your crops will yield for a 3 year period without you doing anything.
Yeah.
That it is going to be so, so rich. The soil is going to be so, so rich. So, indeed, obviously, in those early years, when people all observed the laws of Shemitah, the blessings in the soil was tremendous. God, whatever God promised, that's what happens. And then nobody, if you go look in all history, nobody ever went hungry as a result. Life was good. It was only after people slowly started to decide that they wanted to what is the expression that they sell? They they're gonna, you know, kill the goose that laid the golden eggs.
Yeah.
And to try again that extra edge, you know, let's work on the seventh year, that hopefully we'll be able to gain a lot more. So obviously, in essence, we can really talk forever in our faith in God and our trust in His absolute, in His wisdom, in His goodness. But the question is do we put our money where our mouths are? It's not necessarily that, you know, we have to constantly walk into the market and just buy everything because we want, and then come home and say, oh, I have no more money left, or I'm bankrupt, or I don't do anything. But it's more of the fact is that do we have this belief, do we have this faith in God? And obviously, if He says something, there's a reason. And He's guaranteeing us that we will have a threefold later on. are we going to be a partner together with him, or are we going to have our doubts with him? And, you know, whether it may be, you know, keeping Shabbat or sending our kids to Jewish schools or you know, going a little extra to keep a kosher kitchen. Shemitah, the seventh year, reminds us that Mount Sinai, where we were given this commandment, is really bridges the gap between faith and action, and also, you know, trust and resolve. That on that mountain, we told God that we were going to do whatever He says. So we have to make sure that we don't become a, as they say, a shvach reshutus, a weak partner. We have to be a strong partner with God, that the fact that God wants us to do this, and He promises us what we will get will be threefold, that's our obligation, and that's what we need to do, to constantly report back and see what this is what God wants us to do, and stay strong, stay focused, keep that faith, and obviously God, the fact that God told us to do this, He will repay us threefold, fivefold, tenfold, whatever it may be, but we will not go hungry. I thought it was a very, very important lesson we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
Okay. So, Shabbat services?
Shabbat services is at 7:30 every Friday evening at Shari Tzedek, and 9 o'clock Shabbat morning. So everyone is welcome regardless of affiliation.
So, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you, and God willing, we will have an interview next week where we will discuss the festival, the holiday of Lag
BaOmer,
which will be on Sunday, I believe it's May 22nd. So.
Okay. So, talk to you soon. Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Thank you, Ilan. Be well, and Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye.